fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. When the Wausau Paper Company closed its Brokaw mill in 2012, it affected more than the 400 people who lost good-paying jobs. It also put the small community where the paper company got its start on a death watch. Now the village's 250 people are saddled with $4.5 million in debt and few options. A recently released consultant's report recommended two courses of action. The village could find a way to be annexed to the city of Wausau, which is not possible now because the two communities do not share a border. Or the village could dissolve, disincorporate, which would leave the largely rural towns of Maine and Texas saddled with the debt. And there is a sense of urgency here. The report says the four communities have no time to sort it all out. It should have been done yesterday. I'm Glenn Mobrick. Today on Route 51, it's a discussion on the future of Brokaw with Marathon County Administrator Brad Carter, City of Wausau Alderman Keene Winters, and Attorney Andrew Phillips of Phillips Borowski SC of Mequon, the firm that worked on the consultant's report. We'll also be hearing from Brokaw Village Attorney Dean Dietrich and State Senator Jerry Petruski. What do you think should be done about Brokaw? Should the village be annexed to Wausau? Should it dissolve and transfer its debt to the two neighboring towns? Or do you still hold out hope that the village can be saved? We want to hear from you. Maybe you live in Wausau. Maybe you live in Brokaw. Maybe you live in the town of Maine or the town of Texas. You can join the conversation at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or you can put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page, and I will read it live on the air. Brad Carter, Keene Winters, and Andy Phillips, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Glenn.
I'm going to be informal here as usual. It's not a sign of disrespect, but I'm going to be calling you Andy, Brad, and Keene throughout the show. Brad, why don't we start with you? Why did the county feel that it was necessary to step in and commission this consultant's report on the village of Brokaw?
The county board was well aware that the Brokaw financial situation was percolating. What they observed was that everyone had their own set of numbers. They had a different set of how much the debt was, when it needed to be paid off, what the implications were, and what the choices were. The county board, after a deliberative discussion, postponed some other things that it had planned to do and allocated $54,000 to get a common set of facts. So everyone can have their own opinion, but we're going to share a common set of facts. Then the second part of that report, the part that Mr. Phillips worked on, is what are the real choices? Not are the dream choices. And one of the things we learned in this study is Brokaw continuing as a village is one of the dream choices. And there were a lot of those things percolating that people were talking about. We now know that there are only two choices.
How has that report been received, Brad Carter, since it was released?
I talked to a number of the local officials who were there at the presentation, and they were very grateful that the county stepped in. They thought that the report was well done. They thought that the presentation was clear. To be honest with you, a lot of them are very nervous about the leadership task that is before them. They know that a lot of citizens have not read the report. They are encouraging them to read the report and to try to understand the current situation, but they know that the kinds of steps that are going to be required of local officials are going to be with significant parts of the population very unpopular.
Andrew Phillips, let us know what kind of process you used to put this report together.
It was challenging, to say the least, and the reason it's challenging is that this is not a situation that Wisconsin municipalities confront, I wouldn't even say very often, I would say ever. And it's not easy to go through an analytical process where you don't have a solid precedent to rely on, whether that precedent be in Wisconsin statute, another village or city that this has happened to, or a court case that you could rely on. And so in many ways, we were trying to fit the square peg into the round hole, given all of the unique circumstances facing the village and its financial condition, and trying to make sense of it. And so, from our standpoint, we used a process where we went through and analyzed every single option that is out there and then really tried to focus in on what we determined to be the most viable options. In other words, there may be a lot of sentiment and ideas, and I think Brad used the word dreams, about what should happen, but there's a reality, and that is within the existing framework of our existing law, what are the most realistic options? And that's what it came down to in our report, was those two legal options that exist.
I want you to describe those in your own words. What are the two options?
Well, I think that in very broad terms, we have the option of dissolution, which carries with it many several sub-issues along with dissolution, because if you look at the statute, there is the ability on the village's part to dissolve as a village, and then the assets and liabilities get transferred to the town of Maine and the town of Texas. But there are several complicating factors. Namely, we have a tax incremental financing district that the village currently maintains that under current law, neither of those two towns, Texas and Maine, are able to maintain. So what happens with that district? We also have a water utility that the village owns and operates, and there is no statutory mechanism to force a takeover of that water utility by either of the two towns or both of them acting together, although there is a process whereby the towns could create a sanitary district and take over those operations. And so given those complicating factors, it's very easy to say that the assets and liabilities transfer to the towns, but the particulars associated particularly with the incremental financing district and the water utility, those are questions that would still remain. And then if we look at the broad option number two, it involves regional cooperation. And we identified the two towns and then also the city of Wausau as being logical partners in this cooperative effort. And there actually is statutory precedent for a regional cooperative effort to resolve all of the issues that face the village of Brokaw. Now, the law doesn't require all of those issues to be resolved in a regional cooperative effort, but in our mind, if we're looking at a total solution, the regional cooperation statute 66.0307, which talks about a cooperative planning process, that statutory mechanism would allow those four municipal entities to come together and agree on the future of the village of Brokaw, the future of the two towns, the future of the city of Wausau as it relates to the territory that is the village of Brokaw. And ultimately, in our mind, at the end of the planning period, and we're talking about, in our mind, an extended planning period, years and years down the road, the village would eventually be subsumed within the city of Wausau. We viewed that as the most logical result of that process. But again, I mean, we didn't get into details. We don't know, for example, how the local leaders in each of those jurisdictions would view the planning process. So we just put that as, you know, that's the logical end result, but we didn't necessarily provide the exact blueprint of how you get to that end result.
And the sense of urgency for this, Andy Phillips, were you the guy who said this needs to have been done yesterday?
Well, I think I said that based upon my partner in this report was Mike Konechny from Schenck, and he is the finance guru who took a look at the finances and said, we got a problem that's got to be resolved immediately. And we had several discussions about when does the village actually run out of money, and we're talking about a period of a couple of years, not a couple of decades. And when you always hear talk about the state having a structural budget deficit and somehow they make up that deficit, there was no way for the village of Brokaw to maintain its structural deficit by either increasing taxes or decreasing its expenses, because it has nowhere to go with those built-in structural expenses, and its tax rate is already so high that the people who live in Brokaw and pay property taxes can't afford the tax burden that would be necessary to balance their budget. And so the urgency is there because there is no prospect of them pulling out of this absent some extraordinary circumstance that would happen literally within the next couple of years.
Keen Winters, you were one of the first people to come forward with the idea of Brokaw annexing to the city of Wausau. How did you come to that conclusion, and why do you think it's in Wausau's best interest for it to happen?
Okay. Well, back in May of 2013, I joined Village Board Member Adam Dykman in writing a joint editorial on the case for merger. I was really approached by Adam, and he educated me on what was going on in Brokaw. So there was this beginning of discussions, and what I think we need to do all first, you've really heard about the Greek tragedy, really, and that is that a community of 251 people lost 450 jobs, and a utility lost 85% of its customers all in one blow. Those are fatal, And now we need to move beyond that and start talking about the opportunity. We have a new interchange at Highway UNK. We have an interchange at Brokaw. We have a bridge over the Wisconsin River at Brokaw. We have water and sewer. We have a water tower. We have a wastewater treatment plant. So we have all the infrastructure to support new jobs and new growth. The question is can we cooperate in doing that? And everybody can get a piece of that pie. And so that's why, do we need jobs in Wausau? Yes. Do we need growth in Wausau? Yes. So we certainly should look to a cooperative solution.
Adam Dykeman, is he the only guy in the village of Brokaw who wants this to happen?
I couldn't tell you. I don't have a poll of all their members.
And what about your colleagues on the Wausau City Council? Do you have any of them on board at this point in time?
I think they're open to it. I know Economic Development Chairman Bill Nagel has certainly been following the issue. I know our Community Development Director Ann Wirth is an advocate of us exploring this. I mean, there really is a great deal of growth that could go out there. And when you think of it, you've put $60 million worth of public money in the ground in the form of highways and sewer and water infrastructure, and it's just sitting there being wasted. And so there's a need for cooperation, but we could all share in the growth and tax base, and we could all provide jobs for our communities. All we got to do is work together, and that still is a kind of a challenging thing to do.
I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51. If you just joined us, we're talking to Keene Winters. He's a City of Wausau Alderman, Brad Carter, who's the Marathon County Administrator, and consultant Andy Phillips about the future of the village of Brokaw. We wanted to have Brokaw Village Attorney Dean Dietrich with us live on the air this morning, but he is involved in litigation in Madison this morning. We did talk to him in depth in an interview yesterday, and we'll be playing clips from that throughout the program this morning. So let's hear what Brokaw Village Attorney Dean Dietrich said about the consultant's report that you just heard about and the way most of the leaders of Brokaw reacted to it. We'll start with my question laying out the two options in that report. The consultant's report says the village has only two options, neither of which will be easy. One is to dissolve, in which case the debt goes to the town of Maine and the town of Texas, or find a way to annex to the city of Wausau, even though there's no shared boundary. How have village leaders reacted to those options in that report?
Before I respond to that, Glenn, I'll indicate that there certainly are variations of that report that could be looked at as additional alternatives. The consultant report lays out what I would characterize as the two logical approaches. There always are alternatives that might work, but they would be under the general framework of the two alternatives that are described. Village officials are desirous of keeping the village of Brokaw as an existing municipal entity as long as possible. That is, I think, appropriate for village officials to, as part of their governmental responsibilities, to try and maintain the status of the municipality. And I think because of that, the village officials would like to see a cooperative agreement reached amongst all of the municipalities in kind of the northern part of Marathon County to assure that continued existence of the village as long as possible.
The consultant's report also said there's no time to make a decision. This should have been done yesterday. What's your reaction to that?
Well, the import of that statement is to acknowledge that this is a very serious matter and it needs to be addressed as soon as possible. The village is not going to fold up and stop paying bills or anything in the immediate future. There is not a specific timeline for when the financial stresses may become too much, but it is clear that this issue needs to be addressed as promptly as possible, but recognizing that there's going to have to be discussions amongst the four municipalities to find the right way to make this happen.
And again, you want to see that done in a way that keeps the village of Brokaw as a separate municipality.
To keep the village of Brokaw as a separate municipality is certainly the goal of the village officials and village leaders. the consultants are suggesting that that might be able to occur for a short period of time, probably in the long run, that will not be sustainable. Now, when the long run is and when that happens is really part of the discussion.
That's Brokaw Village attorney Dean Dietrich saying that village leaders are aware of how serious the financial problems facing their village are, but it's their desire to keep the village intact for as long as possible. Your reaction to that, Brad Karger?
Well, I think if you listen further down to what Dean said, he's talking about, well, maybe a year, a year and a half. But one thing I don't think he really said was that the village of Brokaw is sustainable long term. It is not. And this is one of the things that I think is very important in promoting intergovernmental cooperation, that we not misunderstand the seriousness of this. So many local officials are thinking that, well, I don't want to do or enter into something that may be painful or difficult because the problem might just take care of itself. It will not.
Andy Phillips, your reaction to what you just heard.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Brad on this one, and I couch my comments earlier on the fact that absent extraordinary circumstance, that the village will be, it is balance sheet insolvent now, but it will be reach the point of true insolvency in a couple of years. I mean, if there were to be a $50 million commercial development within Brokaw, that would solve a lot of issues, but I think we have to be realistic about what the prospects of that development are, and then if we're going to attract that sort of development as a regional area, what puts the village in the best position to do it? Is it as a standalone village? And our result after, you know, given my 20 years in municipal work and Schenck's municipal work is that that wasn't a realistic possibility. And so then we have to move down the road. And I think that if you look at the templates that exist out there for these cooperative plans, the plans always culminate in the elimination typically of one of the municipal entities. But that elimination occurs after a period of 10, 15, 20 years. And so it's a phase out. And I think that in terms of the village, the village's governing structure and everything, if you do that phase out over that period of time, that still maintains some autonomy for the village for a period of time, but it also culminates in the elimination of that municipal entity.
And Keene Winters, your reaction to Dean Dietrich's remark?
Well, I agree with Brad and Andrew. I think education is needed out there. Everyone who's seen the presentation gets it immediately. And I happened to attend the last meeting of the Brokaw Village. They had posted the report to their website and then asked people to come in on roughly a week's notice to talk about it. And it's clear that a lot of people hadn't read the report, had no clue what was in the report. And so we've got I think the first order of business is education in Brokaw. But what things that are being asked, like WASA to take over their water utility, which loses money, and so they can continue, you know, that's not politically doable in WASA if Brokaw is going to continue as an independent entity.
Brad, again, you were quoted as saying that the four units of government, Brokaw, WASA, Maine, and Texas, don't have any time to ponder this. How can you expect something this complicated involving the very identity of these four units of government to be done yesterday, to be done quickly?
This is a monumental challenge, and I don't want to underestimate it. But we don't have the time to spend a lot of time revisiting the past or discussing sentimental attachment to a community. We have to move fast. Now, I know in business they think, well, a year and a half isn't very fast. They've merged businesses like that. But I'm an expert in local government. A year and a half is a short period of time to do the kind of tasks that are going to be required of these communities in order to have this be culminated before Brokaw hits the financial rocks.
We reached out to the leadership of the town of Maine and asked them to participate in this program. Both town chair Tad Schult and board member and previous town chair Betty Hainish declined on the advice of their attorney, and because they say they want more information before they can comment. They are meeting behind closed doors tonight with the Town of Texas leaders. But Tad Schult told me this. He said the Town of Maine board is, in his words, very frustrated with the process. He says they've asked for a copy of the contract for water service between the village and the city of Wausau, and they haven't been given it yet. They also have a records request with the village that hasn't been honored, according to Tad Schultz. And they're asking for information on what certain items in the village are worth, such as the water tower, and they say they don't have that information yet. Schultz also believes the consultant's report was incomplete, and there may be other options that they could be looking at. Brad Karger, your reaction to that, why haven't they gotten the information that they're looking for yet?
I actually have no idea. This is the first year when you said it that I knew that happened, and I've been trying to think about what ongoing role the county might play in this. And, you know, what you just described might well be a good role for me. I have a relationship with the elected officials in all of the communities, and when something doesn't happen, maybe I could be the person who brings that to the table and make sure that people understand the urgency of this and that people understand the reports.
And the copy of that contract between the village and the city, is there any way we could expedite that in Keene Winters?
I'm sure we could. It's the first I've heard that we didn't get it. I don't know if they asked Wausau or if they asked Brokaw for it, but it shouldn't be hard to come up with. It's a regulated contract with that's supervised by the Public Service Commission.
And again, Tad Schultz said that he didn't want to have a recorded interview, didn't want to appear on the program because he didn't want to throw a monkey wrench in the negotiations that are ongoing right now. So it's I perceived, just based on my conversation with them, that the town of Maine officials are keeping an open mind.
Glenn, one of the ideas that I have that so far hasn't been well received, but given the enormity of the task and given the complexity of the issues, we're now seeing all the municipalities really rallying around their attorney, Dean Dietrich for Brokaw, city attorney for Wausau. I can't remember exactly who they are for the two towns, but they're all different attorneys. And I'm wondering out loud, what if all of those municipalities hired Andy Phillips to represent their interests? So there was really one attorney whose responsibility was to see this thing through. He could provide regular reports to their regular legal counsel. But boy, I'll tell you, having all of the attorneys all participating in all the discussions, to me, is going to slow the process. They're not going to have the same level of expertise. So there's going to be a lot of education. I just wonder if this is an extraordinary circumstance where we have to leave behind our normal patterns of doing business and think of something different.
Andy Phillips, would you be willing to consider that?
I'd absolutely be willing to consider that. I think that's a great idea. And beyond just what I could provide, it doesn't have to be me. It's somebody who can facilitate the process that all of the jurisdictions would have at least a little bit of faith in saying, yeah, we're willing to go forward in this process. I would also add that, you know, I know that Senator Petrusky is going to comment here, but there is a role, in my mind, for the state of Wisconsin to play here, because you'll note in the report that the state hasn't provided a really good workout mechanism for villages and cities that are in Brokaw's condition. And I think it'd be incumbent on the state to, and not just flat out financially, but provide assistance to these entities and jurisdictions in coming together. And if that means that the state should sponsor a cooperative effort, that's a discussion that I think needs to be had. Because I'll tell you the one thing the village of Brokaw doesn't have, and that's money to spend on attorney's fees, financial fees, whatever you want to call it, to try to work through this. And I'm sure that, you know, Wausau and Maine and Texas don't have a lot of money to spend on this as well. But this is such an important issue that there has to be, from the state level down, dedication to seeing that cooperative process through.
I have another crazy idea, and that is, what if the governor were to assign somebody from his staff to head a task force, which is representative of the various communities, and keep things on task? The person could keep regular reports, help understand any changes in legislation that was necessary, help make sure that we got Attorney General cooperation in terms of getting the kind of legal opinions, and just keep that process moving, could identify a role for the county to play. It strikes me, again, this is another extraordinary thing. It's more than a matter of local consistency of significance. It may actually be a matter of statewide significance. It goes to the reputation, economic reputation of our region and our state.
Marathon County Administrator Brad Carger, Wausau Alderman Keene Winters, and Andy Phillips, an attorney and consultant who helped prepare a report on the village of Brokaw. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We'd like to hear from you. What's your opinion? Should the village of Brokaw dissolve? Should it be annexed to Wausau? Maybe you've got some other ideas. 1-800-780-9742 if you'd like to join the conversation. 1-800-780-9742 or put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page. I'll read it live on the air. When we come back, we will hear from Senator Jerry Petruski on Route 51.
Supporters of Wisconsin Public Radio include Chippewa Valley Theater Guild, UW River Falls Wyman Series, and the Minnesota Beethoven Festival. Your business can join our ever-growing list of contributors. More information at wpr.org/sponsor. Support also comes from Wausau's Woods and Art Museum, where 50 Greatest National Geographic photographs features images and stories from the magazine's 120-year history through February 22nd. lywam.org.
And we are back on Route 51 discussing the future of the village of Brokaw. It's 250 residents saddled with $4.5 million in debt because of the closure of the Wausau paper mill, leaving the village stuck with an expensive water utility and no one to use it. A consultant's report says the village faces two options: dissolve and transfer the debt to the adjacent town of Maine and town of Texas, or find a way to annex to the city of Wausau. Here in our studios, Marathon County Administrator Brad Carger, attorney Andrew Phillips, who helped write the report, and Wausau Alderman Keene Winters. We will be hearing more from Brokaw Village Attorney Dean Dietrich in just a few minutes. But again, we'd like to invite you to join the conversation, 1-800-780-9742, 1-800-780-9742, or you can put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page. Andy Phillips, why can't the village simply declare bankruptcy?
Well, it's a complicated answer. Under Chapter 9 of the Federal Bankruptcy Code, the way that it works with the federal law is that the states have to give permission to municipal entities to declare bankruptcy. The state of Wisconsin has not given Wisconsin municipal entities that permission, which is why in California, where the California legislature has determined that it's okay for municipalities to file bankruptcy, you see situations with the city of Stockton, for example, where they can declare bankruptcy. Same in Michigan with Detroit. And so Chapter 9 bankruptcy is not an option under Wisconsin law. And likewise, historically, under Wisconsin law, there's this Chapter 128 proceeding, which is often referred to as a state bankruptcy. Historically, municipal entities are not able to avail themselves of the protections in Chapter 128 in the state bankruptcy either. And so they can't declare bankruptcy under federal law because the state has not allowed them to do so, and under state law, they're not recognized as an entity that is able to avail themselves of that protection.
And in Michigan, there's an emergency management law in which the state government actually takes over bankrupt municipalities and runs them. And again, that's something that would be provided for in Michigan state law, but not in Wisconsin.
That's correct. We don't have any sort of mechanism here in Wisconsin to have any sort of emergency procedure put in place.
2 weeks ago, 29th District State Senator Jerry Petruski, a Republican, was a guest on this program, and we asked him if there was anything the state could do about the village of Brokaw.
The two options that were listed in the study that was done, yes, have one going through dissolution, which they would take that problem and shift it to the two townships that used to make up Brokaw. The other one is to have the city in some form or fashion do an agreement, whether it's buying out the water utility portion of it and taking that over. But the city can't annex a village. There could be some mutual agreement, I believe, in the making. If the gentleman that was calling in is looking for a buyout from the state so that the state would come up and pay off the bills that Brokaw presently has, that becomes a very tough sell. Mm-hmm. How do you get another 132 people to agree to put state resources into doing this, because it opens the door. You'd have all kinds of communities across the state saying the same thing. Oh, we need help, so give us so many millions of dollars. So I don't think that that's viable in the future. Is there some possibility that something could happen or be done? I think the first step in this road is for the village has to decide what they want to do. And I think the administrator, Mr. Carger, is right. The choices they need to come to an agreement among the members of the board on what's the goal. You know, you can never get in to any place if you don't have a map on how to get to where you want to go. But you have to establish where you want to go.
It's got to start with the village.
It has to start with the village. And they have to make the decision that, you know, what we're doing right now isn't going to change. We need to move on, whether it be sitting down with Wausau and saying, what are the possibilities of Wausau taking over Brokaw? And also along with that, you know, the dealing with the utility, with the water and sewer.
Well, that's got to be the first step, according to what the consultant said. They got to deal with that, and then maybe annexation, if they can find a way to get to get there, and if it's in Wausau's interest to do it.
And, you know, I know that they have a water line going out there. If that would work as to constitute being contiguous, I know that the town of Maine wouldn't be happy with that, because it runs, you know, right through the...
But the town of Maine won't be happy with millions of dollars in additional debt being put on the shoulders of their property tax.
And right now, Glenn, those are the options in statute that are available to Brokaw.
Senator Jerry Petruski saying it's up to the village of Brokaw. And, again, Keene Winters, what's the possibility of using that water line as sort of a conduit for an annexation? Have you looked into that at all?
I haven't looked into the water line. I understand that would be difficult. An idea that has been floated for us is from the northeast side. There is the Canadian National Rail Line runs from the northeast side of Wausau to Brokaw. The unique thing about a rail line is it pays no municipal taxes. It runs right along the river, so it really doesn't cut off. So it just pays a state usage tax. So whether it's in the town of Texas, the city of Wausau, or Brokaw, nobody gets any taxes off of it. And that could provide a corridor on that side. There's certainly been talk about the large piece of property owned by 3M, that could become a part. Then you've got both sides of the river going up, and I think so you could very quickly carve out a corridor with those two pieces of property.
Andy Phillips, how much property is needed? We hear about balloon string annexations in which you have just like, well Senator Petruski said a water line. The state would probably say you can't do that. If you just ask me for my opinion and, you know, out of thin air, what is allowable?
Well, I think it'd be difficult to say it's a water line. I think that there might be a challenge based on the rail line. We've not offered a specific opinion on what's necessary to hit that annexation point because, frankly, you can't annex an entire village into the city, and so it would be a process whereby the properties would come over, and then there would be no mechanism for transferring the village responsibilities to the city without a separate agreement related to those responsibilities. So we always viewed this as a consolidation issue. And, of course, to consolidate, you need contiguity as well. You need to share a common border. So we have the same issue. In our mind, it was challenging because even if you were able to create a mechanism for a contiguous border, whether it be the rail line, the water line, or a small strip of land, you're still going to have broad-based regional issues on the public services that are provided to village residents because is the city of Wausau, is the infrastructure there to provide all those services? Now, it might be. We don't know for sure, but we can tell you that right now the village contracts with an entity other than the city of Wausau, for example, for fire protection services. So how are those handled going forward if you create continuity or contiguity through that balloon string using that parlance? And so I think you might be able to do that. We've not researched it in depth to figure out how it is, but we always viewed it through the lens of an overall cooperative plan relating to all the jurisdictions.
And again, Brokaw Village Attorney Dean Dietrich couldn't be with us this morning. He is in court in Madison right now, but he recorded an interview yesterday. We asked him about the prospect of state aid for Brokaw.
I think there is a possibility of state assistance, especially if there are employment opportunities or business generation opportunities that would come out of some type of cooperative agreement. I don't think there is a very good likelihood of kind of a direct aid payment to the village. In other words, giving a certain amount of money to the village for it to continue to survive.
Now, Senator,
I don't think that's a good long-term solution.
Senator Jerry Petruski, when I asked him about this, said the ball is in your court. The next move has to come from the village. Your reaction to that?
Well, certainly the next move has to come from the village to decide what particular path the village wants to go down. And at this point, the village is reaching out to the other municipalities to gauge their interest in working toward a cooperative venture.
Brad Karger, your reaction to what you just heard?
Well, I really think that some of the key points is that Brokaw has to lead this process. And I think they got to get more clear than Mr. Dietrich was early on and say that, tell people that they accept that Brokaw will not exist in a year and a half, and that they are interested in an intergovernmental agreement of four municipalities so that that has the less detrimental impact and creates something positive for everybody to latch on to. And I understand why they do this from a political perspective, to that there's the possibility that a large employer might come and pull them out of the fire. That flies in the face of, since 2002, their tax rate went up from 1089 per thousand to 2473. Now, that's not the only reason somebody cites a plant, but it is a part of the equation. With that high utility rates, high tax rates, there is not going to be a rescue by somebody riding in on a white horse. This is going to have to be resolved with intergovernmental cooperation, or it's going to be dissolution.
1-800-780-9742, 1-800-780-9742. We do have one caller on the line right now. Caller, what is your name, and what community are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Barbara Bannels in Rothschild, Wisconsin.
And your question?
I don't have a question, but I have a suggestion. I don't know if it's feasible. I'm very naive about these big-time things, but I can see Brokaw, a beautiful little valley in there as you pass the highway, that it could be a attraction to tourists going north, or be something very proud that Wausau could do. For example, the Pullman District in Chicago, Illinois, or right south outside of Chicago, their example of zeroing in on their history, as Brokaw has this marvelous country history and the idea of a company town, or pattern it and invite people, artists and people such as that, as in Mineral Point. If this this village could be used in those two ideas, make it attractive to anyone who would be passing through or visiting or living here as well.
All right. Thank you so much for the call, and that's an interesting suggestion, Keene Winters. The Pullman neighborhood in Chicago, which she references, this was set up by the Pullman Car Company, which at one time was a big industry in the city of Chicago, and now it's historic, and it's sort of an artist's colony. Could tourism be a part of the solution in Brokaw?
Tourism could be part of the solution. Development along the bluffs there for high-end housing could be a part of the solution. I think, too, what the caller has raised is this notion that Brokaw can still have an identity after being part of Wausau. So I represent a neighborhood that started in 1922, was part of the town of Texas, was annexed into the city of Wausau, and we call it Riverview today. And if I tell you I'm from Riverview, you know where I'm from. And so when people say I'm from Brokaw, or maybe we'll call it Brokaw Junction to gentrify it, those things are definitely possible. But I take from what her suggestion is, there are many things we can do that preserve the identity of Brokaw as a unique place.
When we come back, we're going to talk more about the possible redevelopment of the old paper mill site, what's possible, what's probable, with Brad Karger, Marathon County Administrator, Keene Winters, Wausau City Alderman, and Andy Phillips, an attorney and consultant who helped write the report that pretty much lays it on the line for the village of Brokaw. We'll also be hearing from Brokaw Village Attorney Dean Dietrich. I'm Glenn Moberg. We'd like to hear from you. 1-800-780-9742 if you'd like to join the conversation. We'll be back after this.
Thank you to the business sponsors who help support WPR programs, including Steep & Brew, Marcus Center for the Performing Arts, and The Bold Company. Play a role in the success of WPR. Become a business sponsor. Go to WPR.org/sponsor. Support also comes from Christine Bremer-Moogley of the personal injury law firm Bremer & Trollope, committed to protecting the rights of accident victims throughout Wisconsin. Bremer & Trollope, because the right results matter most. Bremer-Law.com.
I'm Glenn Moberg. We're back on Route 51 discussing the future of the village of Brokaw. It's 250 residents saddled with $4.5 million in debt. Here in our studios this morning, Marathon County Administrator Brad Carger, attorney Andrew Phillips, who helped write a consultant's report on the subject, and Wausau Alderman Keene Winters. And that consultant's report, Brad Carger, if any of our listeners want to see it, it is available to them.
It is. It's on the front page of the county's website in a corner called Announcements, and it has a little picture of Brokaw on it. It'll be the full report. So it is, I want to warn you, it is a complex financial and legal analysis. But I think that now that you've had an overview of it from newspaper and from this radio program, it'll make more sense to you as to how dire the circumstances are.
We're going to play one final clip from Brokaw Village Attorney Dean Dietrich, in which he talks about the possibility of redeveloping the old paper mill site. And we started by asking him about litigation the village is involved in with Brokaw Development Company. That's the firm that bought the old mill site, and whether that litigation would complicate finding a solution to the problem.
The matter you're referring to is litigation that was commenced by the village, I think a couple of years ago now, to stop Brokaw Development Company from removing much of the equipment and, in a sense, stripping the mill of anything that had value in it. The circuit court issued an injunction to stop that from happening. The discussions that we're having right now regarding this lawsuit are more based around the damages and the fines that could be assessed against Brokaw Development Corporation. That litigation in and of itself is not the cause of the financial difficulties experienced by the village. It is an issue that the village board would like to resolve and focus its efforts on the continued sustainability of the village, and we're trying to work towards an amicable resolution of that litigation.
Is there any hope of redeveloping the old Wausau paper mill site, which could bring new revenue into the village and maybe solve some of these problems?
There has already been a company that has moved into a portion of the mill, and there's hope that other companies new to town would be interested in different parts, different buildings on the mill property. But those businesses would not be focused on manufacturing like the mill and would not be using the types of municipal services that the mill used as part of its production. So generating more business through different parts of the mill buildings would be helpful to the village, but it is not going to be able to bridge the large gap between the amount of costs of services and the limited use of those services.
What, in your view, is the urgency of this matter? How much time do village leaders have to make a decision?
There's no specific timeline. The financial stress that the village of Brokaw is suffering from is real. And, there needs to be decisions made, I think, within the next 3 to 6, 7 months.
So, Dean Dietrich getting specific, 6 to 7 months, Brad Carger.
Now I'm really agreeing with him. This is the kind of time frame that we have. Now, remember that town, county, city councils, they meet once every 2 weeks for a couple of hours. So this is a very short time period. And if it's delayed by information not being exchanged, which we've now have a hint of, that's going to delay it even further.
And Keene Winters, Dean Dietrich says even if the mill site is redeveloped, the kind of development that would go there would not use the amount of water the mill used, and in that sense wouldn't solve all the problems.
It probably wouldn't. I would have to agree with him on that. I would say What the mill has is it has a railroad junction, and certainly we'd like to, I think, have development that takes advantage of that infrastructure in the long run. But it's hard to see that, look, Brokaw's municipal tax rate is 3 times Wausau. Its water rate is 3 times Wausau. That means it's roughly 5 times Weston's or Cronenwetter's. Why would you locate there? I mean, it would make no sense given the current structure of things.
And Andy Phillips, I'd like you to react to what Dean Dietrich said. Need you to be brief here because we're running out of time.
I like his timetable. I think Brad makes a very good point that things don't move often as fast as we'd like them to in government, and so I think the decision-making process has to start right away.
Let's go back to the phones. We have Judy in Grand Marsh. Judy, you're on Route 51.
Wouldn't this be exactly the kind of demonstration that Governor Walker could make a key play in for him to demonstrate to the whole company how he could be so proficient at bringing opposing sides together and solve complex problems? I think it would be helpful to publicly ask for his expertise in these areas.
Brad Carger?
I think that we will. I think that we will ask the governor's office to bring that together, but they're going to have to be paired with somebody local. They're going to have the person comes here, and it could be me or it could be somebody else representing the county, because I think you have to have some social capital, some knowledge. You can't just be meeting these people for the first time in an event like this and trying to hold their feet to the fire to make decisions that are difficult.
Judy, thanks so much for the phone call. We really appreciate it. Why didn't the village try to diversify its economy? Why put all of its financial eggs in one basket in this one industry, Brad Carger?
Well, it was a mill town. The village didn't invite a mill to come. The mill was there, and they purchased a lot of the land, and they tried to keep the number of residents down because of the complaints about noise and smell and stuff like that. This is a very unique situation.
The mill itself was against diversifying the economy.
The mill owned Brokaw, and in so many ways, it owned a lot of the land. It did not want the houses redeveloped. It wanted to be a mill town. And to be honest with you, for many years, that was a very socially conscious company. They took care of Brokaw. When there was a pinch, you could talk to some of the people who were owners, and they would make things happen. So. That worked very well for a very long piece of time, but now we have the loss of local ownership, partially locally owned, but partially not locally owned.
The people in the town of Maine say that their residents in a survey want to maintain the rural, bucolic, undeveloped nature of their community. How would this affect that?
How
would annexation affect the overall sense of a rural enclave like the town of Maine?
Well, in a sense, I think the ship has sailed. The money has been spent. The debt has been incurred. The infrastructure is in the ground. Development is the only way to pay for it other than folks in the town of Maine upping their taxes and buying this problem out. Now, if they'd like to buy this problem out and maintain their, outside the city, bucolic or rural ways, that's fine. But they're going to have to reach deep into their pockets to do it.
And Keene Winters, how are things right now, the prospect of a solution here affected by the tension that's going on in the city between the council and the mayor's office? Is that playing a part at all?
Well, probably not, because right now we're not leading the effort. I mean, the ball is in Brokaw's court, and then the ball passes to Maine and Texas. And the truth is we don't have to be a part of the solution. They need us.
Andy Phillips, I'm going to ask you that question again. Are you willing to be an attorney who serves as an attorney for all four of these municipalities?
I think that'd be very exciting. In my background, when people come together for a common purpose and agree that we may have different opinions on how it gets done, but ultimately we have the same goal, it's very exciting, especially on the government side, because in this environment we need efficiencies, and I think there are tremendous opportunities here for everybody involved.
Brad Carger, you've got the final word.
Well, one final clause is one of the key pieces is Wausau coming together to help make this intergovernmental cooperation agreement work. And if it's viewed only in the context of 1 year, It has to. It won't work. It has to be viewed much longer than that.
And I want to tell you, our viewers, our listeners, that the Marathon County Financial and Economic Report link is on our Route 51 Facebook page. Thanks so much to today's guests, Marathon County Administrator Brad Carger, City of Wausau Alderman Keene Winters, Attorney Andrew Phillips of Phillips Borowski SC. Also thanks to Brokaw Village Attorney Dean Dietrich and State Senator Jerry Petruski for their contributions. I'm Glenn Mulberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producer, Jane Ritger. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. A reminder that if you missed part of this program, you can hear it again in its entirety Friday evening at 7 on WHRM 90.9 FM Wausau. Thanks for riding along with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin, and until next week, we're heading out of town.